CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available.
Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson.
Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness.
Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness.
And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell
with Quantum Physics and Consciousness.
It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show.
Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is, well, it's Friday the 13th, another one this year. Which means we have Tracy McBurney, of course. Woohoo! I think, is this the third one? It's definitely the second one. I think it's the third, though, this year. That's great. Is your website up yet, Trace? No? Okay. So.
I think so. Okay. Well, you know what? I really don't know. You can tell how much I just love that technology thing. I put it up because I had to. It really doesn't get maintained. Not so much.
Well, that's funny. So we've been, it's Friday the 13th. So, I mean, I'm kind of going through something and it's been the last couple days, actually, the last 3 days. It's kind of coming out now. It's on its way out, but I think everybody's kind of going through some stuff. Maybe we're getting ready for the Venus retrograde that happens on solstice so that we're all nice and clean and clear before.
I've saved some money.
Yeah.
based on what you were telling me earlier. It's like, I'll just squirrel away some money. I'm watching those squirrels going, I'm gonna just embrace your medicine.
Oh, dear. So looks like we're starting with what we accept as ourselves, which is not us.
Yeah. So it's actually very interesting. So this has been something that's been around me for a long time. But, you know, sometimes as I make my protocol, what my protocol is, the beginning protocol for a session, some things actually kind of get left by the wayside or get put somewhere. You know, kind of like when you put something in a closet for a while and then you kind of forget it's there.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely, and even when I'm teaching classes, I will always talk to students about being leery about the things that are hidden or the things that are underground or camouflaged. But for whatever reason, and I wouldn't really know, except for my own sabotage perhaps, it stopped being part of the beginning protocol.
Mm.
And it just came several weeks ago that it directed right back to a piece of Art Martin's work. Art Martin, founder of neurocellular biology, neurocellular repatterning, sorry, NCR. Lovely man, very bright man. And I got directed back to one of his books. Now, it's interesting because this happened to him a lot, so much so that he would drop things and put things in closets and not pay attention to something anymore. And yet I was going, you know, that's a really valuable thing. And now I'm looking through this book and you're not saying that anymore. Like, right. You're, you know, where did that go? And so I never threw out anything that he ever gave me that was in print. So I think I've got in one of my bookshelves about 18 different documents, like big, thick documents that he had printed up. Some of them in haste and some of them not. Just because somewhere in there is all the stuff that he's put back in a closet somewhere he's not using. But I think sometimes he puts things back in places where he shouldn't. And so this was one of those moments where I got directed to go back to one of these like 18 manuals in the back of me in my office to this one specific one. And the hilarious thing about this one specific one is that it had a handout in it, like something that he had made up that was thrown into that particular binder when he was selling that binder. And it was about 5 or 6 pages. And that's what Divine wanted me to look at, is this 5 or 6 page handout. And it went right back to something that, God, it was something that he taught me years ago. He was the first person to put that idea on my radar about things underground, cloaked, hidden. And so this affirmation, this beautifully written affirmation, was just addressing that particular thing. And it was asking. Now, for him, he is always asking from a very computer standpoint. He's asking file and program manager, whatever it is that's going on in his world. For me, I'm always asking divine. Divine intelligence, I mean, you know,
right,
really
okay.
Just listened to all of the shows, right? So divine, is there anything operating within me? Is there anything within me attached to me, connected to me? Now, you've heard me say this a million times in my office, but it's always about something very present, right?
Right.
So that's part of the protocol. And I start with me. I start with the practitioner. Is there anything connected to me, involved with me, surrounding me, force impinging upon me that would be interfering with my capacity to bring forward that divine love and light and to receive that on this day? And I'm always really careful to make sure that I am taking care of my own clarity, my own level of distortion, my own level of denial first before I actually look to that client. But sometimes the distortion or the issue or the something impinging upon me happens to be coming from them. Like it
right.
happens to be coming from that side of the room, but
sure.
not always. Well, of course, back to this particular affirmation, which was there for me years ago and somehow got put back in that closet and behind a shoebox somewhere, was this idea that he would then ask, well, is there anything, any being, any energy hidden, cloaked, camouflaged, masquerading as me or some aspect of me? In other words, enveloped by my cells or enveloped by my energy now, hiding itself as a false identity or hiding it. He made some suggestions in that affirmation, hiding itself as false identity, hiding itself as subpersonality, some personality that I'm supposed to think is me, hiding itself as some kind of category within my mind, like ego, inner child, inner self, what are some of the higher self? When in fact, that is not what it is. And I was like, wow. So this was not brought back that day for me. It was brought back for a client that I was literally told, before I can go any further, I have to go back behind me into these books, get back to something that's Art Martin's, go find it, found it in this document. It was this one little sentence. This one little chunk of a phrase of a paragraph.
Right.
And of course, it was amazing because then all sorts of understanding that really wasn't with me when he taught me that years ago started to flood in. It was almost like the healing team, the creating team just went, okay, now you're back with us. Now you're back with something you learned all those years ago. Now let's let you understand it from a level that you never understood it from before. And maybe Art didn't even understand it from this level, but we're going to sit with you and be with you in this moment. And it was fascinating. In other words, let's give you an example of, let's say something goes on at the age of 3 for you. You're humiliated by something that goes on in your house, or embarrassed by something, or ashamed by something, or there's some molesting that happens, or there's a yelling or a rage that happens in the house and you're absolutely terrified. Any one of those instances of a shock or a trauma or some sort of an abuse or a wounding of some kind, however we frame that, can create almost like a breach in our auric field. It can create definitely a vulnerability within us. We feel vulnerable. We feel insecure. We might feel needy. We might feel very isolated in that moment or very alone because the person that's actually misbehaving is somebody that we really depend on to take care of us. And now we're kind of sitting here going, what is going on? So within that chasm that's being created or that moment of isolation, these energies can literally come into our field. It's almost like the door gets opened in our fields and in our energy for these things to come in. They come in, whether it's an entity or whether it's some sort of a being. They come in because sometimes we invite them in. Like, in other words, love has betrayed us. I've talked about that before. Love has betrayed me. I have no trust in this love. I have no faith in love. I have no faith in the people that are supposed to love me. And so literally you're inviting in something, anything that is not love. But in a lot of instances, there's just a vulnerability. There's like a gaping wound where something can now just come in because the door's open.
Right.
Well, you left the door open. So We don't have to respect anything here. The doors open and in they come. And then they start to take hold and then they start to seed. And then things start to kind of foam over a little bit. And how long does it take of that thing actually living within you, like a parasite, for example.
Right.
How long does it take of that thing living within you, you melding your energy with that parasite, your energy field going down just a little more every day, just a little more every day, but you don't really realize it because it's not, there's nothing really extreme that's going on. And then you just accept it as you. And you just accept it as you, and there's one or two parasites that live within you that you just accept as you. You just go on with your day. Your energy feels just a little bit farther. In other words, if I talk real life, not spirit world, that's kind of the way it would work in the real life world. Or there's a virus that comes in and it takes hold through one of those open doors of vulnerability. And it's not really noticeable to you because the energy field's just gone down a little bit until something else happens, where then you've got something else impinging on your field. And that's when you start to notice that something's wrong.
Right.
But when that entity comes in, and that happens at 4 or 5 or 6, and it takes hold in your field, and it starts its process of, let's call it misbehaving, it starts its process of showing itself, the energy of it, and the truth of it. And you're unaware of this, completely unaware that there's something now contained within you that is not you. And people around you, because it's been there for so long, oh, that's just her. That's just her. She's moody.
Right.
That's just her. She's just angry. That's just my mom. She rages all the time. That's just her. That's just, she can't get a hand, you know, just excuse that. That's just her. When in fact, it's not her.
Right.
And it's never been her. And there's something inside of her that is raging, or that is fearful, or that it's deeply insecure. And it's been there for so long, and maybe its insecurities have grown over time, or its fears have grown over time, and you're just accepting that it's you.
Right.
Until you do something like this. Until you literally, very categorically say to this divine, today's the day. Today's the day that I stop being so accepting, or so blaming, or so judgmental. Today's the day that I stop doing all of that, and I sit here and say to myself, and I say to you, let's start looking at the reality of what is me. Right? I'm not going to point the finger at me. I'm not going to judge me. I just want to look at the reality of me. Like, if I'm going to start cleaning some of this up and enlightening some of this up, I want to be enlightening me.
Right.
I want to take responsibility for me. But I don't necessarily want to take responsibility for a bunch of insecurity, a bunch of fear, a bunch of rage that has been going on inside of me, but is not me, not my shadow self, not really part of me at all, but something that managed to get into my energy field a long time ago, take hold and grow and evolve in its darkness, grow and evolve its fear, grow and evolve its rage. And now even the people around me keep confirming what it is that I have started to believe. In fact, I started to believe it because they kept saying it.
Right.
Maybe for a long time, I didn't really see myself as the raging person or the moody person. But then everybody around me that loved me and that was a right could say, well, that's just her. Wait, just accept her. That's just her. Just walk away. Don't pay attention to her right now. She'll figure it out in an hour. When in fact, what you needed to figure out is, wow, that's not me.
Right.
That's not me.
Well, we have some more work to do.
Well, you know what? But isn't it an interesting thought?
Yeah. It's so funny because, I mean, your protocol seems like it's so clear. You know, whatever's 100% love and light, like you look at everything within.
Well, I
and
really,
ask all the questions. You seem
really
to ask all the stuff.
Yeah, I really tried. I say to students all the time, you know, the secret is in the preparation. Like,
right.
The secret is really in how well you prepare your room for those people to come in, how well you prepare yourself, how clear you are, how well you prepare the space. I mean, and yeah, it was astounding to go, wow, I only ask that question at certain times.
Right.
When we're working on certain things, I'll always be aware of that, but
right.
Not right at the beginning. I stopped doing that 3, 4, 5 years ago. Why? I don't know how it got put in the shoebox at the back of the car. I have no idea.
We're going to go to break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney. Well, when she's on the web, you can find her at TracyMcBurney.com, TracyMcBurney.com, or you can go to my website. I have a page and all her shows up there with the same name.
Guess it's right. So better organized.
You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's NewSkyRadio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD at AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. We're talking a little bit about kind of what we accept as ourself, which isn't us. We're going to also talk about some neediness stuff that's going on. I can relate to all of this thing. if you have any questions and you want to ask for some guidance, you can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. All right.
Okay, so basically where I went back to, I didn't bring the actual affirmation with me, but I don't actually think that that's as important as the recognition of what it is we're asking this divine to do, which is asking this divine intelligence core love and light part of us, source of love and light beyond us, to scan us, looking for what it is that we are now prepared to allow to find. Mm. Scan my field, scan my bodies, all of them, all of these places within me, all the spaces in between. So scan all the cells, all the spaces in between, the spaces in between the spaces, and the spaces in between that. Science would say, oh, that goes to infinitum. And you're looking divine now because I'm giving you permission. I'm giving myself permission finally to look in these underground places. You are looking for those energies, those beings, those particulates of energy or matter that are camouflaging themselves. This could include viruses because they talk about envelope viruses, right? That are camouflaging themselves or have succeeded at camouflaging themselves, masquerading as me, perhaps even answering to my name, right? You go and look for those. Look for them in past, present, future, parallel, or alternate timelines, in all timelines, all dimensions. Go and look for this craziness because I'm prepared to start to really recognize what is me and take responsibility for that and what is not. And he put in really neat things like masquerading as higher self, masquerading as, I guess, potentially even my soul, masquerading as my soul, masquerading as ego, masquerading in some false identity, hiding itself in some sub-personality or personality of me that I'm thinking is me and some version of a personality when it's not. In other words, you're giving this divine permission to not only look into this physical body, to look into all the bodies, looking into all avenues of your mind for the imposters. Those beings and those energies that have got me and have had me thinking for a very long time that they are me, when in fact the truth is, as you see it and as you know it, divine, they are not. And I am thanking you for, if it's necessary, releasing the blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences, or obstacles of all kinds, as is safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest. That's my cover my ass affirmation, never to do harm to myself or any of the all. Because in other words, you want to make sure that you're asking for changes to be made in a time frame that is digestible for you, digestible morsels for your gut brain, digestible morsels for your heart. In other words, don't give me more than I can handle. In other words, don't listen to me if I'm a little insane and I'm speed driving my way into some level of evolution that I, you know, need to be more mindful of, is basically what safe and appropriate and highest and best interest means. It's honoring of that poor gut brain and the fact it has to assimilate everything that we're doing and all the changes that are going on. And how lovely is that? And after those blocks have been removed and those resistances, I thank you for removing these energies. And I'm always mindful of the idea that even if I didn't recognize them, even if they have been, sometimes I have recognized them on some level and I have allowed them to hide me. And I have been grateful that they have left me in some levels of denial. I have been grateful for the denial. I've been grateful for the distortion. I've been grateful for the breathing space and the hiding space so that I wouldn't get more rejected than I was yesterday. So I wouldn't be humiliated the way I was yesterday. Sometimes these energies come in and we know it on some level, and it's like, yeah, stay with me. Right. Stay with me. You know, my mother didn't defend me. My father didn't defend me. Stay with me. Make sure that I'm not going to be more rejected and humiliated today than yesterday. But there are times when we are completely oblivious and unaware to what has taken over and to what has now taken, gotten entrenched. And for me, it's all gratitude. It's thanking these energies for their service. Whether I was aware of it or not, thanking you for the place that you held within me. Thanking you for the space that you filled. Thanking you for the job that you did. If in fact you were doing a job that I did not turn to love and light to do on a different day. So with gratitude, infinite love and gratitude on a continuous stream sent to you, I thank this divine for removing you now, releasing me fully and completely from these energies. And I thank you, divine, for filling in those spaces, filling in those empty spaces with your love, with your light, with your guidance, with higher wisdom. Because in a lot of instances, what I'm seeing is those were times in our history where those things did happen to us. And we haven't been able to really fully heal those because these energies have been in the way. Mm-hmm. But they're not considered obstacles. Isn't that interesting? In the affirmation here, I'm thinking I've got all that covered off, right? They're not considered obstacles. They're not considered reversals. They're not considered blocks because we're considering them us.
Right.
So they're us. So they're not being administered. Isn't that cool? They're not being administered to by anything that has been done so far in my office because to me, they're just me. So they're not being touched. They just slide by.
That's amazing.
Week after week after week, they just slide by.
Huh.
And those parts of me don't change. Those parts of what I think are me don't change.
Right.
They don't get accessed. They don't get addressed. They don't get healed. They don't get touched. They're untouchable. And that is that envelope virus, right? Untouchable.
Huh.
It's got a coating of me. I didn't even realize that was possible, that you could have a virus that could get a coating of your cells over it. So it was fundamentally untouchable.
Wow.
It was just now considered you, and there's a virus pocket sitting in your body. Well, this would be kind of like that.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's neat.
Kind of opens up a whole new dimension, doesn't it?
I know. I know. It's really exciting. It's kind of like, wow. I think it's just like the Virgo of me liking efficient work, like just right. Liking efficient work. Not so efficient that I'm asking too much of myself, although this happened more times than a few. Because I just think that sometimes slow and steady wins the race too. So it's kind of like the clarity around that. But this appeals to the Virgo of me.
Right. We have an instant message.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. We won't be able to finish it before break, but maybe you can assist. This is Elisa.
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking about ending her marriage of almost 30 years. Her husband is a good man, actually, the best, but I feel like I'm not where I wanted to be at this time of life. Is this a change of life thing? We dated for 5 years before we got married. I followed him around while he was in the military. We raised 4 children, 1 still at home. And now I just feel lost. I don't want to work. I want to stay at home, but I can't. I feel lost. I think that's more the issue than the marriage. Do you want to sit with this before we go, or we could go to break maybe, and you could sit with this?
Yeah, I do want to sit with it for a second because there's an emotion that's coming up. Okay, it's Alicia is the name?
No, it's Lisa.
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 Okay. Yeah, let's sit with that until after the break because there's an emotion coming up and I want to see where that sits.
Okay, so why don't we take our next break Yeah, and when we come back, we'll work on that with you, Lisa, okay? So you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
Here we go. pictures I have made and started thinking about all the time we had left. Was counting all my mistakes and counting all my regrets about you. Thought about me, thought about all the things we'd ever be. Thought about you, thought about me, thought about all the things we'd never be. Thought about you. Well, I woke up in the pouring rain, my pockets empty and a voice running round in my brain. It started sounding a lot like the devil himself, saying no one gets to heaven if they don't go through hell. And would you think about me, think about all the things we'd ever be? Oh, tell me, would you think about me, think about all the things we'd never be? So tell me, would you? So tell me, would you? So I thought about you. So I thought about me. So I thought about you. I thought about you. Well, I was walking back home really late. Looked at the stars up in the sky. Thought of the wishes I had made. Then started thinking about all the time we had left. Was counting all my mistakes and counting all my regrets about you. Thought about me. Thought about all the things we'd ever be. Thought about you. Thought about me. Thought about all the things we'd never be. Thought about you.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tracy McBurney here today. We're sort of talking about, you know, the parts of us that we accept as ourself, which aren't us, and the other part of it was neediness, which looks like we'll be touching in this segment because of Lisa's question. So thanks, Lisa.
Okay, well, that's what comes up when I actually got quiet, and I knew it was coming because I got guided to these pages. I brought some pages that I like charts. Lori would probably know that. I like charts. They make it easy for me to do kinesiology.
The Virgo
just
inner.
Very quickly just go through and find out. So anyway, I brought two pages of charts that I did not create and can take no ownership of. But it felt right to say that the solution for the question that was being asked was on these pages of neediness. So there was a neediness. There was an unresolved need that now the thought was, I'll be able to resolve this need by leaving the marriage. And so as I scrolled through, what I got was power. And so there's a whole category of words. So it's almost like, what's going to resonate with this person? What's going to resonate with the soul of this person? What's the issue with? So under power, there is a word that is written authority, strength, influence. And that's the one that hit. Influence. In a second category, capacity, might, as in mighty, might. Results, stamina. Omnipotence, prerogative. And so it's almost the way this person who created these charts was working, was first you get the major need. You scroll down and see what that is that feels right at a very subconscious and a very, almost like at a soul level. The issue. And then you look for the word. You look for the word that most resonates. And so the one that I found, and of course she'll have to sit with this herself, was influence.
Right.
And so as I sit in the energy of that, is this a soul issue? Yes, it is. it's a wanting to feel like I can have a greater influence, wanting to have a greater influence, a greater impact in this world than I feel like I have had. And so it might actually be like the other word. I needed to step back for a second because I was getting immersed in a ball of what I'm going to call depressed. So there is a little bit of a depression piece that's going on here.
Right.
But wherever there is depression, there's always a light, like right in the center of that darkness. Right. So if we can just kind of sit sometimes with that. And so I'm going to use the word disappointment. I think it's fairly accurate. Disappointed with the level of influence that I have been able to have in this world. So the world is a small world or a big world, depending on how big a world we have allowed ourselves to be in. The other piece here, because it's a power issue, is about sharing equal power. Like some confusion around what that means to share equal power, to be in a position in this marriage, perhaps, that is a position of equal power. Her phrase, I followed my husband. I followed my husband here, here, and here.
Military means probably a lot.
Right. And that was my grandmother, right? Following my grandfather all the way through her years and literally went into a coma 20 seconds after he died on another end of Ottawa. Like she tried to follow him all the way into the next world, but she couldn't. She kind of got stuck in the void place of coma and came back out of that for 17 days of life. I think for a sole reason of needing to do that. So I feel for her that the reason why there's something about not being able to realize within herself or understand within herself that idea of equal power between a man and a woman and equal power in this relationship and equal power in this marriage. It's almost like, no, I'm in this marriage and that means I have to follow this man. Right? There's no greater flexibility within the mind or within the heart than to do the right thing, right? The thing that's available, the only thing that's available. And so my power is here if I stay in this marriage.
Right.
And so it's almost like I would want to look to this divine to say, wow, there's a few issues that can be upgraded with divine help. So that maybe it's not about leaving the marriage. Maybe it's about leaving some of these ideas about what would be available in this marriage, leaving some ideas about what power is available to you, leaving these ideas about how great an influence you can have and be within the constraints of a marriage, like within the box of a marriage. And so it's almost like looking at this divine and saying, okay, all right, I'm having a power struggle issue. I'm struggling with my power. I'm struggling with these ideas, divine, of equal power within this marriage. I don't see it. I don't embrace it. I don't get it. Maybe in the dictionary definition, you go to the dictionary of what's going on inside of you and you look up equal power in a marriage and it's not there under the E's. Like, I don't know how to create that. Getting honest about that, looking to this divine and saying, as is safe and appropriate and highest and best interest, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to allow you, divine, to deliver to me knowings and wisdom from places that were not delivered to me earlier from my ancestral lineage about what could be possible in a marriage, about this idea of equal opportunity and equal power shared between a man and a woman, my capacity to hold that space of equal power, greater upgrade around my own personal power. It just feels like one of the reasons why the depressed feeling, I'm not saying she's in some big, huge depression. It just feels like it's a low-grade depression. It's almost like I want to make a change, but I don't want to make a change. I want to, but I don't want to. And it's almost like I think that don't want to is that some part of her knows that she's trying to walk forward in some sort of a change that doesn't feel quite right yet, and she hasn't been able to frame it.
Right.
So, you know, thank you, Divine, for upgrading my capacity to know the influence that I can make in this world. In other words, I feel almost like it's blaming the marriage. It's blaming the job of motherhood or blaming the job of wife or, because I got put in this box, because I put myself in this box, I have to bust out of that box to know what kind of influence I could really have in this world, what kind of a difference. That's a soul thing. This is a soul issue. Making a difference is a soul issue. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's really talking about when we're looking at influence. It's I want to make a greater difference, and I'm a little bit disappointed that I haven't made more of a difference until now. And I'm thinking that even though this guy's the most wonderful guy in the world, that it's because I made a choice to get married. And it's because I made a choice to be in the box of being a wife. And I got to get out of some of these boxes. It's like, no, the box you have to get out of is the box that has told you you can only be this much of an influence in this world. If you've got this great husband, then you've got a great husband that is there to support you. And it's you that has not been supporting you. It's you that has not been able to support you because it's you that cannot conceive of the kind of influence you could actually have and be, or the fact that you could even share equal power and follow this divine. Like, do a little more of following this divine authority within you, rather than always following the husband. Anyway, that...
Wow. It feels, that's a good one, and it feels really right.
Yeah, and like, it feels like this husband will be right on line with that.
I know.
So I think the reason why you're in that little low-level depression is because some part of you knows that the way you're trying to sort this out and what you're trying to walk away from is not necessarily what you want to walk away from.
Right.
And you don't need to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that helps you, Lisa.
And maybe listen to the first part of the show, because I think there's some things that you accepted that are you, that are inside of you, that you need to look to this divine to remove from you.
Right.
And then you might be able to see yourself a little more clearly, your potential a little more clearly, your capacity to be of influence in this world a little more clearly than you're seeing it now. So that's what you need to unmarry yourself from, not your husband.
Beautiful.
That feels really right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk now about your bit on... We've got a few minutes before break. Or did you finish your... Did you finish everything you wanted to say about what is not us?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, I really wanted to put out that affirmation, and you can play with it a little bit yourself, but really it's about turning to that divine. And all I can really say is, I guess there are times when it's not appropriate, it's not right, this divine will not release you from something quite yet that's taken hold at, let's say, the age of one or two, because you're just not ready. You're not ready to reconcile that particular piece, or something needs to stay in hiding for a little while, or you can only deal with so much. You can only have so much now made available to you about you. I wouldn't know. So please know that this particular affirmation might be something that you need to repeat several times over the next couple of years, potentially, to really get that job done. And it's not because this divine part of you wants to hold you in these places. It's because you've got a gut brain. You got a whole digestive system. You got a whole neurological system that has to be able to deal with the levels of light that are coming in, and you need to take things into some digestible morsel. So,
right. Nice.
I like what just got said for Lisa.
So
I hope
do I.
She hears it. I hope she takes that advice.
So do I. Yeah, because that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And felt really.
Feels like she did.
Yeah.
It feels like there's some part of her that's just kind of...
Well, that's what I mean. When you ask and you have doubt and feel lost, I mean, that's, you know, that there's a part of you that's fighting it, part of you that, you know, is inside and part of you that is outside.
and part of you that really doesn't want to move forward with that decision and knows on some level that there's something not right. And so sometimes the lost is just holding you in a space because... that soul doesn't want you to move forward that way.
Right. Exactly. Well, since we don't have much time before break, let's go to break now. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. since you can't check out her website, definitely go to mine and look up Tracy McBurney and get her page. She's on the co-host page. Definitely check her out. And if you want to contact her, her contact information is there. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD at AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Promise you the world again, everything within my hands, all the riches one could dream, they will come from me. I hope that you could understand, this is not what I had planned. Please don't worry. Will turn around. 'Cause I need more time. Just a few more months and we'll be fine. So say what's on your mind. 'Cause I can't figure out just what's inside. You could understand, this is not what I had planned. Please don't worry now, it will turn around. 'Cause I need more time, just a few more months and we'll be fine. So say what's on your mind.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney. We are talking now about genius, as Lisa lovely brought us into this lovely transformation into from the things that aren't us, that we believe are us, to this neediness piece, which seems to be coming into your world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been in my world for quite a long time. In fact, when I teach in class a lot, is that is one of the biggest reasons why you're not behaving. You know, you might be putting $210 in front of me in my office, but you're not really cooperating with the process because there's some other neediness that is needing to be addressed, but you're not really allowing it to be found in our office, right? Until we can kind of dig it out.
Right.
So Maslow's pyramid, right? Like I brought it with me just because I wasn't going to sit here and try to, you know, remember all of the pieces, but it goes from the biggest base of psychological need or physiological need, sorry. So food, water, warmth, and rest, right?
So basic needs.
If you haven't taken care of those things, like if you don't even know that you've got food on your table, there is no way you're going to be up there making choices from the top category of self-fulfillment, right? And I think one of the reasons why we have become in North America a nation so open to this idea of self-fulfillment is because so many of us have this basic base need covered, right? We're not really questioning it. We've got a roof over our head and we've got food on our table. Right. We've got those basic components of water and we don't have to fight for those or take our guns out for those. So what are we going to spend our time doing?
Right.
What is our creative mind going to be, you know, concerned with next? And
yeah, we have a lot of false fears around our basic needs. Right. We have a lot of imposed fears.
And you know, they've been working really well with all that, the scare of 2012 and sort of the whole climate change to make sure that those are really real.
Right.
But at the end of the day, for a lot of us, we don't have those questions.
Right.
And then the next step up on the pyramid is the safety idea. Mm-hmm. So to know that I am secure and to know that I am safe. And so that can really speak also about a roof over your head, right? A roof over your head and shelter and knowing that, you know, you've got the blankets that you need and all of that stuff. And then we go a little bit farther up the pyramid, and now we're at belongingness and love needs. So your intimate relationship and friends. And then a little farther up the pyramid is your self-esteem needs. And that's kind of interesting that they come after. This is fascinating. But okay, so your self-esteem needs for prestige and feeling of accomplishment. And so that really is sitting at this whole influence place. Like, you know, how much influence can I, how much influence can I be and how much potential positive influence can I be and what can I accomplish and what's available to me? And that's a value piece too. Like what kind of value do I have and what kind of self-worth do I have? So that's beyond a self-esteem piece. And then at the top of the pinnacle is self-actualization. And so that speaks to self-fulfillment needs.
Right.
So then it's like, okay, and now we're really talking about my soul. Right. And what feeds my soul, what I'm going to call the Holy Trinity within me, my spirit, my soul, my divine essence, divine authority, what is feeding that place? So serving me at that higher level. And I don't think we can go there. We can't even conceptualize going there when we don't even know that there's an apple on our table.
Right. Right.
Or that, you know, we're just down here in survival needs if that's where life is. Okay. So. Now, and so my clients are coming in, and they've got those basic, you know, they might want to have a job change. And one of the reasons why they're having that struggle with the job change is because they don't know where the next job is, but I hate the job I have. So I'll be putting myself right back in these basic survival conflicts if I'm going on unemployment insurance and I don't know where the next job is. And if I'm believing that the recession's never ending and there aren't these jobs out there, then I'm plummeting myself into something that would require a lot of faith for me to find my way out of, right? Because I don't really have a vision of how that's going to work. So mostly clients are coming into my office feeling safe, secure. They know they have food. Now they're going to spend a little money on self-fulfillment or getting a better relationship or something that's in these higher places, right? So while we were on break, I just thought, well, you know, so I'm just going to ask what's going on with you in my two charts. Is there anything divine going on in my two charts that would be a neediness that might, that could potentially interfere with you being able to see a little clearer than you're seeing now or whatever, or just there's a need that is there.
Right.
And so it was on the first page of charts, and we started to discuss it a little bit. Is it okay if I bring
it up?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And it was in the major category, it was to be cared for.
Yes.
And then I went to the littler words that might mean something to us. If we got our heart open, we're looking for the word that would mean something for us. And so I scrolled through, get attention, attended to, embraced, helped, treasured, cared about, tenderness, saved, and the last one was get gifts. And get gifts was the one that showed up. Right. And I said to you on break, I said, well, you know, I didn't create these charts. So I'm not actually quite clear about what that really means, but can we just explore that for a second? Because get gifts could be you wanting to receive from this divine greater gifts of or greater realization of the gifts within you, or, you know, it's almost Christmas. Right. So it could be, you know, I really wanted a diamond ring from, you know, I don't quite know, but get gifts was showing up. So we started to talk about that.
Right.
And I said, open your heart and see whether we can get some clues, because I believe that to be real.
Right.
So there is a neediness. So if I go and I say, well, was that neediness, where is that framed? Is it framed before the age of 5? No, it's not. Before the age of 10? No. Before the age of 15? Yes. So 11, 12, 13. So it's the 13-year-old girl.
Who lost her father.
It's a 13-year-old girl that we're addressing right now. And the neediness of that 13-year-old girl. So we're asking her to step forward. We're asking her, that part of you, that aspect of you, I as the practitioner want to make sure that that part of you is in the room.
Mm.
That part of you feels safe, that part of you feels honored, that part of you feels okay about being in the room and grounded and supported. So I would want to make sure that we are calling in the beings of 100% pure love and pure light that 13-year-old girl would have the greatest affinity to, so that she might stay. So that she might stay with us and not disappear, not go somewhere. Because even though it's open heart, what I really want to talk to is that 13-year-old.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that before we go, but let's play with it a little bit.
Okay. So from the 13-year-old perspective, that need for getting gifts, what does that mean to the 13-year-old?
Oh, I think that would be different. So a week into my 13th year, I lost my father.
Now, is that a death?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And he was like my world. I was daddy's girl for sure. I think I got my period that year. I mean, it was a crazy year. I might have gotten my first kiss that year. So get gifts.
When did he pass away?
A week after my 13th birthday.
And when's your birthday?
24th of January. So on, I think the 31st was the day he passed.
A week after your birthday.
Wasn't a great gift.
No.
I think we're probably going to have to go. It's too bad. You're not going to get to hear that one.
But isn't it
although
interesting?
She's giving us a little bit of time.
But isn't it interesting where that goes, right?
When
we get really directed to an age where that neediness sits. And that was, I think, a really important thing to put on the recording. So thank you. It's like I work with muscle testing to do that internal yes, no, to get a time frame for that neediness, because it's not the you at whatever age you are now. It's a part of you, an aspect of you that hasn't healed something.
Right. Right. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go to break. We're going to end the show. Thank you very much, Tracy.
Thanks for opening that up, Trace.
We may touch on that when we come back in the new year. Can you believe it?
I know.
So I'm wishing everybody a wonderful
aged a whole
new
year. That was so fast.
You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.